And today let's read verses 21 to 28. Let's stand. Let's see. 21 to 28. I'll begin reading at verse 21 and you read verse 22 and so on and so forth up until verse 28. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us.
And Reuben answered them, saying,
spake I not
to you, saying, do not sin against the child, and he would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required.
And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter.
And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes.
Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth.
He said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is hid in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done to us?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. You've revealed so much. You've given so much light, so much truth. We know, Lord, you are around us at all times. You know our thoughts even before we have them ourselves. Oh, God, we just come to you. We know we're weak and sinful and wicked, and we ask you to help us. Help me today to open this word, make it plain and simple, and may your Holy Spirit apply it to every heart that's here. If some lost soul were in the sound of my voice, I pray they might be saved. Those that need help, I pray, Lord, they'd seek your face. And God, I pray that you would forgive us where we failed you and let you down. And God, fill us with your spirit and fill us with a joy and peace and believing and help us to be useful in your kingdom. Now bless this meeting this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go over into the book of Romans and read verse, chapter 8, verse 28. You might ought to go there. If that verse is not marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it. If you have never learned it, you ought to memorize it. And I think Joseph is a perfect example of this verse. Now, are you a believer? Are you a saved person? You're someone that claims Jesus Christ? You believe that God's forgiven your sin? He fills your life? Listen to this. And we know. Do you know some things? Well, if you know some things, you have faith in some things, they carry you through the tough times. We know all things. Boy, do we complain about some of the things that we have to go through. My air conditioner went out last night. I just suffered terribly. What's suffering? So it's 84 degrees in my house. I've sweated before. In fact, I grew up sweating. Didn't know what air conditioning was. All things work together for good to whom? Them that love God. All things don't work together for good for everybody. It's to them that love God. It's God's children. It's God's family. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What a verse. That is a verse that ought to be established in your faith. We got something wrong in the cement up here someplace. I think that's it right there. Anyway, I think about all the things that Joseph went through. Joseph is one of the best men you're ever going to read about. You can get people's biographies and whatever, but you're not going to find a much better man than Joseph. He was a good kid. He was such a kid that his daddy could trust him. And his daddy probably put a whole lot in his hands, and his brothers were jealous. But God was with him, and God was for him. And how about those dreams that he had whenever God showed him what was going to happen to him? And then your own brothers turn against you, sell you into slavery, go out and probably get drunk on the money, party around, and go back home and tell Dad, we found this coat. That was wicked. Just how wicked can you be? Turn on your own family. Turn on one of your own brothers that way. But here, God had already shown him in these dreams. Now, prison did something for him. I'll guarantee you it'll change you. I've never spent a night in jail for my... I should have probably a few times, but I never did. But going into the prison, I've been in Huntsville several times, other prisons. I, in fact, used to could preach in jails. The guards and the county sheriffs and whatever, they'd come on in, and you'd have 30 drunks to preach to, you know. And we did it quite a bit. They've changed a whole lot of that now, but that was. But when they closed those gates on me in Huntsville, I did not like that. I mean, I'm not convicted of anything. I'm not going to have to stay. Hopefully I'm not going to have to stay. But when those gates clanked behind me, I said, I do not like this. Well, let me tell you what. Huntsville is a whole lot better than any prison in Mexico or Guatemala. There's some of them, if your family doesn't bring you food, you don't get food. They don't have everything for you. Your family brings you food up to you, or you starve. I wonder what kind of prison this was that he went through. Do you know that's an education? Living in a foreign country is an education. If you've never done it, if all you do is see in on the movies, or you're going down for a day or two or a vacation or something like that into Mexico or Guatemala or Honduras, El Salvador, or Africa someplace, you have no clue. You live there a while. You get to know these people that sweep a dirt floor. I've seen women sweep a dirt floor till it was cleaner than a lot of the floors I walked into in my visits. Yeah. And that's the best they're ever going to have. Joseph had to be changed by 13 years of education. A slave, a prisoner, falsely accused. It made a man out of him. I think about my daddy's generation. I was born in the Depression, 1936. Depression never hurt me. I didn't know anything. I didn't know I was poor. Had no clue. One of my old aunts, she had a bunch of kids of her own. She was much older than my dad. And they've told me the stories that when she's picking cotton, she had me on her cotton sack that she was dragging, and she was caring for me while she was picking cotton. Had to take the kids out to pick the cotton because they couldn't have paid a babysitter. My dad and his brother lost everything. Everything but the land, the farm. You know, they went through some tough times. Brokaw, I think, named them the greatest generation. Let me tell you something. They went through the dust storm. You ever seen it? You can see it. You can see it on your computer or on your television. You can see the dust storm. Unreal. Some people went crazy in their houses. Some people killed themselves. the depression, and the greatest war the world has ever seen, World War II, had most of the world involved. They went through that generation. You know what it did? It marked them. They didn't come out at the same way they went into it. They came out with an education. They come out with a change in their character. I sort of like his title, The Greatest Generation. I know my mother and daddy were just super people. They were great people. They weren't rich. They weren't real educated. Both of them probably had about a 10th grade education. It's all the school went to where they lived. But man, did it make them real people. They were solid people. They thought reasonably. They were practical. I've kidded my kids. They say they're going to give me a birthday party when I get 80. But I said, I never had a birthday party. My folks didn't do any partying. They not only didn't do any partying, they never ate a snack. They had breakfast. My dad carried one sandwich to lunch in an old paper bag that he used over and over and over again till it was all crinkled up. And people, the guys out of work would laugh at him till he bought a new Buick for cash, and then they quit laughing. He said, if you'd save your paper bags, you could buy a new Buick too. That was my daddy's way of thinking. So it changed their character. And wow. What did Joseph go through? He went through 13 years of education by God. God determined that. And he put him through those things, and those things made him what he was. You look at this character. You just read him. Read him over and over and over again. You don't find anything wrong with him as a kid. You don't find anything wrong with him as a servant or as a prisoner. And you don't find anything wrong with him when he gets to be the leader. There's a man who lived to be 110 years old, and he's one of the finest characters you will ever read about in your life. And it's because God put him through some things, and he passed. You know, a whole lot of things that happen to you are tests. They're not so much life as they're tests. God's going to see what you're going to do. When the temptation comes, what are you going to do? Joseph had probably a beautiful woman that wanted to sleep with him. And he said, no, I can't treat my master that way, and I can't treat my God that way. Well, what are you going to do? Well, it makes a difference to how God treats you. Now, what are you going through now? All of us are going through something. All of us. You got troubles with your kids. You got troubles with your marriage. You got troubles with your doctrine. You got troubles with neighbors. I remember one time when we went up to a free campsite. I can't remember the name of the place on Park right now, but it'll come in a minute. Anyway, I had all the campsites set up, all the boats in the water and everything, and a bunch of drunks come up with their loud music at about 10 o'clock at night, and they're playing their music. They're just blaring it, and they're right, sitting right next to us, you know. I thought, do I go over and make a fool out of myself, or do I go, you know, what I do? I just packed up everything at 10 o'clock at night and drove down to a car park I had to pay for and set everything up. I tell you what, you learn a few things in your life. And, you know, it'll help you out a whole lot. Builds character. Romans 8:28 is still in the book for you. And as far as I'm concerned, every time I get a hold of Joseph, I can't help but think of Romans 8:28. Here it is. All things work together for good. 13 years of what he went through made one terrific man. One great leader of the land of Egypt. One man whom God could trust and put things in. Can God trust you? That's a question God's asking all the time. Can I trust you? Can I put you in a position to where you can give a testimony for me? Can I put you in a position where you can be a blessing to somebody for me? Can God trust you? Well, he can't if you don't believe his word. He can't if you won't keep your word. Isn't that the truth? See, that's one of the most important things to me. It was to my children. That was my first problem with Christmas. I said, what am I going to tell my children? I'm not going to lie to them. What I made up my mind was, we're going to tell them the truth. They asked us about sex, we told them the truth. Verlene and I both. They asked us about Christmas, we told them the truth. And I've been trying to keep the truth for a long, long time. Now, I'll admit I've had a few white lies. What do you think this looks like? Oh, that's just gorgeous. Don't you think I'm pretty? Don't you really like me? I lie a lot. But no, honestly, when it really counts, I think we ought to count on the truth. You ought to be somebody that God could trust. You ought to be somebody that would just stand up for the Word of God. I believe this is truth. Now, I'll tell you again, I don't have any book I can recommend completely. I've read a lot of books. And I've got some men I like better than others. And boy, most everything I've learned, somebody taught me. I didn't discover all this by myself. Somebody said, look at this. I said, wow, look at that. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Well, here you go. I've got a book I can trust. Can you? Well, you got to know it to trust it. You got to read it to know it. And some of you are too lazy. Oh, did I use the wrong word? Some of you are too lazy to read the book for yourself. Don't trust any preacher, not even me. You check me by the book. You look in the book and see what the book says. Now, any other book, any other preacher, any other commentary, and believe me, I've examined them, I don't trust them all the way. I just don't. I'm sorry. But I trust this book, the Word of God. And if it's wrong, then I'm wrong. If it's not true, then I put my hope in a false assumption. But if it is true, I at least know what it says. And I know what I can believe. Now, Joseph was somebody God could trust. Are you? Can God trust you? Who will you stand against to be faithful to God? And you think about that a little bit. Some people down in Guatemala and Mexico and around the world today, when they turn to Christ to be saved, they lose their family. I didn't lose my family. My family was all on board. Hallelujah. Lindell got saved. Hallelujah. Boy. Can God trust you? I hope he can. I don't know but what you're going to get tested here in a few years. Maybe this week. I don't know. But here's one man. Wow. What a man. Do you realize that God is watching? All the time. That's something else that I have. I believe it. I believe I am never alone. Not even in the dark. When it's so dark I can't see my hand in front of my face. I'm never alone. God is always with me and he's always watching. You know, that would help you if you could believe that. And you could live by it. I'm going to disappoint him. I'm going to let him down. How much do you love him? Wow. God is always watching. You are never alone. You have no secrets from God. Oh, you've got secrets to nobody else. I understand that. And some of them can be kept. Many secrets can't be kept. Isn't that an amazing thing? But it's the truth. Many secrets can't be kept. I've always worried. I'm not a priest, and so I don't ask for confession, but I've had plenty of confessions. And they're in my head. And I've always worried when they put me out to operate on me what I might say. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to let somebody's secret out, or even mine. I don't want to do that. And I used to worry about them putting me down, so I was afraid the cuss words are going to come out. I quit cussing 59 years ago. But you know, every one of those cuss words is still in my head. And you know, when I get mad at you, they start rolling around in my head. I'm just up there, you know, and I'm saying, no, don't let any of them out. You're the same way. Amen? Or oh me, one or the other. Amen or oh me. Wow. Well, I tell you what. We started at verse 21, didn't we? Let's go back to that. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. And we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child. And ye would not hear, therefore, behold, his blood is required. Wow. Do you have anything that you just have to keep repenting over all the time? You won't accept that God's got it forgiven and taken care of. They never got away from this. Let me tell you something else. Not only did they do a bad deed. Boy, you are sharp today. I'm telling you, I'm going to buy those shoes off of you. They did something they couldn't get over. I wonder how many times they thought about it in this 13 years. How many times did it come up in the night? When they're dealing with their friends, when they see the sorrow of their father, it changed them. These men are changed. They're not the same men that did what they did. They got changed when they saw the sorrow they brought back to their dad. They didn't realize what they were going to do. And they saw for 13 years how he grieved for that son that was gone. And how he babied his little brother. And they're all that he had left of his wife, his favorite wife, the one he loved. The one he was supposed to have gotten. But God had plans there too. Because Christ comes through Leah. Christ didn't come through Rachel. Christ comes through Leah, and through Judah. You can repent. And you can be forgiven, but it's real hard to you to forget it. You don't get away from it. You don't get away from it. Some of you right now, you're thinking about that thing I did. Stupid, 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 stupid. You ever called yourself stupid? My daddy called me a big dummy all the time. You big dummy. And I called myself. I mean, he just gave him my name. You big dummy. You ever told yourself, boy, you are stupid? Well, you ought to, because you are. Amen or oh me? We just don't have enough sense to do the right thing all the time. And does it come back to haunt you? Well, it did this right here. I don't believe they had a nice night's rest in 13 years. That one of them, at least, wasn't thinking about what they did to their brother. And him crying, no, don't do me this way. Don't, please, please don't sell me. No, don't do me this way. Well, you know, we can be pretty mean sometimes. I've been mean. And some of you sweet little ladies have been mean. Some of you just mean as a snake. We think you're so sweet and you're so pretty and you're so nice. and you're re-refined dirt. You've been refined one more time than your husband. So you're a little finer dirt. You can be mean as can be. And the problem is, you don't ever confess it and get it taken care of. And the problem is, even if you do, you can't forget it. Here they are, and hear what they're talking about. We are verily guilty concerning our brother. We saw the anguish of his soul as when he besought us, we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. You ever made that statement? This is a tremendous little verse for me. You ever made that statement? The reason why I'm going through this right now is because. There's a whole lot of truth to that. Whole lot of truth to that. I don't believe in karma. I believe in God. There's a difference. But you know what I believe? I believe God lets you pay. I don't care if you get saved or not. You've done some bad deed, some terrible deed. And you've got to suffer the consequences. You repent of it. God forgives you of it. It's done. It's over. But hey, the results aren't over. No, there's payment. You get drunk, have a car wreck, knock your left arm off, and it's amputated. You repent of drinking, you never touch another drop the rest of your life, but you never get your arm back. That's what happens. You do some things, and you're so stupid that when you do them, you don't realize there are consequences. You don't do anything without a consequence. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. What a tremendous, great, wise statement. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow watermelon, you don't get corn. You don't get tomatoes. You get watermelon. You sow Johnson grass, hay, that's what you get. You sow wickedness and sin, and you despise God, and you do not listen to God. You don't repent. You don't change the way you treat your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. Oh, it's exactly what happens. And it's going to come back and bite you. Now, let me tell you something, young parents. You have a child. You better get that child in control before he's 3 or 4. I don't care if you got to spank him. I don't care if you... And bless your heart. Don't do like some people train dogs. Give them a little treat every time they do something right. You're ruining your child. I tell you, you just ruin it. You get them in control, and they will still be in control when they're 15. If you don't get them in control when they're little and young... They are going to cause you more trouble than you can imagine. We get back the results. We get back the response. We get back the cause and effect. You do this, you pay the price. Now these brothers, I don't know how much they've done in the last 13 years. But they come up here and they know they're innocent. They haven't stolen any money. They haven't tried to be wrong. They're not spies. They're accused of something they hadn't done. And then all of a sudden this comes up and they got their money in their sacks again. How can that be? I'd be asking questions too, wouldn't you? How does this work out? What in the world's happening? And then you know what they thought? God. What's happening is God. Now, lost world, people that are unsaved, those drunks out there today with a hangover, they're going to go down to the bars this afternoon at nights. Some of them are going to get shot. Yeah. More than you church people are going to get shot. You don't think so? Why don't you look at the news every once in a while? Whole lot of these shootings come out on certain bars. You want to go take a chance on getting shot? Well, go out and dance and drink. got a pretty good chance. Got a pretty good chance. So when it happened out there, I haven't been shot in church yet. I've been going to church 59 years. Come September 1st. Wow! I've nearly been shot visiting, but not when I was in church, at least. Praise the Lord. We are verily guilty. They already knew that. They've known that for 13 years. They've heard his voice pleading, don't do this to me, don't do this to me, don't do this to me. And they wouldn't listen. And God has brought it back to their mind. Now let me tell you what. There are a lot of people you really shouldn't mess with because they're big and mean and could be angry. But I tell you, the one person you really don't want to mess with is God. You don't want him angry. You know what you need? You need a go-between between you and God. You need the Lord Jesus. You need somebody that can pay for your sins. You need somebody that can pay for your wickedness and your thoughts. Wow. We are verily guilty. It just stood out to me. We are verily guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Now is this true? Certainly is. Yeah, God didn't make them do it. God knew they were going to do it, and God did it. Let it be, because he was going to save them later on down there 13 years later. Or 15 years later. Whatever. So God did send Joseph ahead. And Joseph was really good to forgive. That's another thing. Joseph forgave him. Here in a few verses, he's going to hug him and cry on him. Not just Benjamin. All of his brothers. Judah. Reuben. He's going to hug on him. Simeon, he's going to hug on him. Cry. And he's going to say, don't worry about it. God did send me before you. Wow. That's a big man. That's a character. That's somebody you ought to emulate. Amen. That's somebody you ought to be like. You ought to say, God, make me a little bit like Joseph. Sure would like to be like Joseph, be able to forgive my own brothers for their wickedness that they did against me. Tremendous. Anguish of his soul. And Reuben said, didn't I tell you, boys? Do not sin against the child, and you would not hear. Therefore, his blood is required. Now look at verse 23. They knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. My personal belief, my thinking is these Jewish men did not trim their beards, so they're great bearded men. But the Egyptians were smooth shaven, many of them. All the pictures I see of Egyptians, I don't see many Egyptians with beards. So they don't recognize Joseph. He stand there right there dressed up in all of his Egyptian attire. He looks like an Egyptian to them. They don't know him, but you see, he speaks Hebrew. I came back from Guatemala and I went to teaching school on the west side of San Antonio. And of course the kids here, I'm just this old gringo, and they don't think I speak Spanish. Well, actually I was very fluent in Spanish at that time. And I had this one little boy, eighth grader, little smart aleck, sitting right over my desk, and he's cussing me out in Spanish. And he doesn't think I speak Spanish. And so I just laughed him off, just ignored, went on with what I was doing. It's the first of the year, just first classes, you know. And he finally said enough that I just reached over and grabbed him by the collar and pulled him over my desk. And you're not supposed to do that, you understand? But I did. I put him up here and I spoke to him in Spanish. Told him everything he'd called me and set him down. I heard it in the halls. He speaks Spanish. He speaks Spanish. Be careful. He speaks Spanish. It was a fun day. What can I say? Joseph is understanding everything and they don't know it. They don't know it. Knew not, Joseph understood them. Look at him in verse 24. He turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Now they just spent 3 nights in jail. That was a pretty good experience. 3 nights is a good experience. And 1 hour is bad for me, but three nights in that Egyptian prison, they had plenty of time to think, didn't they? They had plenty of time to repent. They had plenty of time to go over their past lives, their past sins. Do you ever have the opportunity to go over your past life? You ought to. You ought to look back. If there's some things that you haven't confessed, maybe you ought to confess them. If there's some people you've wronged, maybe you ought to go tell them. Ask them to forgive you. If you have been stupid and sinful and wicked, then you ought to tell God. You ought to get them taken care of. And when God brings them to your mind, He didn't bring them to your mind for no reason at all. He brought them to your mind so you could take care of them. God is not playing with us. When He brings up to your mind that you have failed Him in this area, you're not living for Him like you ought to. You're not taking the stand He wants you to take. You're not going to stand up for Him. Listen, there is a judgment seat of Christ. It's not the great white throne. The lost people are not going to be there. Just the saved. And you're going to get to answer for every idle word you ever spoke. Idle words, not just cuss words. Idle words. You know, we talk and we do a lot of idle talking. Do you do a lot of idle talks here? Most of, some of you really talk a lot. I know because you get my ear sometimes. And it's idle. Not, it's not important. It's not needful. It's not helpful. You're not learning anything. You're not teaching anything. Just idle words. Just talking. God says, I'm going to hold you accountable. What comes out of your mouth? What about your dirty jokes? What about your cuss words? What about your blaming other people? What about your judging other people? We're a bunch of gossips. We love to talk about each other. All of us are guilty. Those of you that don't talk that much, maybe you're less guilty. But most of us do plenty of talking. We need to repent of some things. These guys got an opportunity right here. They got in jail for 3 days to think about, what am I doing here? I'm innocent. You know, that's a theme that runs through a lot of books and history. Innocent people going to jail. Now, there are innocent people in jail right here in the United States. There are innocent people in Israel and in Africa and in South America in jail. In Guatemala, let me tell you how they did it. They had the post office robbed in Quetzaltenango, which is the town I lived in. It was the second largest town in the country of Guatemala. It's high in the mountains, about 7,800 feet above sea level, the valley that we lived in. Beautiful, beautiful place. They had somebody rob the post office. Well, the first thing they thought about was it had to be an employee of the postal service. Maybe that had been let loose. So they round up all of the ex-employees and put them in jail till they find whoever's guilty. You got a whole bunch of innocent people in that jail. You know how you get out? Your family goes around and borrows money from everybody else and pays the judge to get you out. Wow. You lived under a justice system like that? It's not like this. You mighty lucky right here. You can complain about America all you want to. You mighty lucky right here. You're just mighty blessed on what you have here. Old Joseph spent 13 years as a slave, servant, prisoner. He didn't mind putting all of his brothers in jail for 3 days. 3 days and nights. They deserved it, didn't they? Absolutely. They deserved it. He said, I'm going to let you guys just get a taste. Just a little taste. Round them up. Put them all in jail. I bet the food wasn't as good as what they'd been eating. I bet the hygiene wasn't as good as what they had been enjoying. And their fellowship wasn't as good either. I mean, tell you what, they didn't like each other as much when they were in a jail cell as they had before they went in there. No. They had 3 days and three nights. How many of you, when you get a night you can't sleep, just nearly go nuts? You think they slept well in jail? Ah, what a comfortable bed. The air conditioning is so great in this jail. I just love watching the Rio Olympics in this jail. I don't think they had that kind of an experience. And you know what they did? They talked and they thought and probably prayed. At any rate, he put all of them in jail for 3 days. They had plenty of time to think. And then, of course, he took them out. But they knew. So he maintains, even though it's hurting him, he maintains his not letting them know who he is. They knew not Joseph understood him. He turned himself about from them and wept, returned to them again, communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, to restore every man's money into his sack, give them provision for the way. Thus did he unto them, and they laid their asses with corn and departed hence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the end, he espied his money. It was in his sack's mouth, and he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them. And they were afraid, saying, wonder, what is this that God had done unto us? Now, let me tell you what. They were smart enough to know it was God. Sometimes you don't recognize it. Sometimes you're just so dull and dumb, stupid. God just has to hit you in the face and you don't even know it's God. Wake up! There is a result to everything you do. You need to keep close accounts with God. You need to repent often. You need to not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Husbands and wives ought to make up before they go to bed. Children, brothers and sisters, you need to take care of these things. And here they are. They said, what is this that God hath done unto us? Now that's twice they've said, God is doing something to us. Now, you may just think you just got bad luck. You ever thought about it might be God? You ever thought it might be God? This might be God trying to get your attention. He got my attention several times. When that buddy of mine took my truck and blew up, boy, he got my attention. I didn't think 20-year-olds could die. That's not the truth, because a few of mine died on motorcycles when we were just in our young years. But the truth of the matter is, yep, 18-year-olds can die. 20-year-olds can die. 40 years old, 60 years old. You got no guarantee you're going to live to be an old man, old woman. Better get right with God. Well, God bless you.